So stand with me tonight. Please pray for, it's just mind blowing. Please pray. You think you have it bad, but when the pastor and wife for some reason were not there today, and for some reason their minor child, 14 years old, was there, quite frankly, I don't understand all of that. That's their business. But I will say to other parents and other pastors and wives, your minor children should be with you 24/7. That means at least the mother should be with them, the father should be with them, or both, preferably. I never bought into this foolishness, this idea that parents need a break from the children that God gave them. Oh, here you go, preacher. See, that's why I don't send you no hearts. I don't say amen to nothing. You always got to start something. You always saying something that goes against the grain. Preacher, why do you rub the cat and the dog the wrong way? I'm not rubbing the cat and the dog the wrong way. Tell the dog, in the words of evangelist Sam, I forget his last name, Billy Sunday, tell the cat to turn around, or turn the cat around and turn the dog around. What we need in our society is to repent. Now, this is their business. It's hard enough as it is, but I do have to say this. I never bought into this thing that mama needs a break from the children that God has blessed her with. That daddy needs a break from his own children. If you train them right and raise them right, they will be a blessing to you and to your ministry and to your whatever business you are doing, and so forth. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Let this be a lesson to you parents who have this idea that it's okay to leave your minor children with other people since you cannot control them. And I'm not saying this is the case with this dear pastor and wife, but since you cannot control them oftentimes, which is the case, you dump them on somebody else and they can't control them either, and then bad things can happen, and oftentimes it does. Another thing that you ought to do, I don't care how demonic your child might be or how demonic you might be, tell them you love them every time you depart somewhere, you go somewhere, or they go to school, or whatever. Say, I love you. You say, preacher, you know you don't have to say that. Yes, I do, because there are people, especially some mothers and especially some fathers, who have a problem saying I love you to your children. I don't care if you have disagreed. I don't care if you're upset about something. You say I love you, because that may be the last time you see that child, or the last time you see that cantankerous parent of yours. And the next time we see you, you're crying all over the coffin because things were not right between you and your parents, or your parents and you. So say I love you. And if you're at a distance with some adult children, one of the greatest inventions known to mankind is texting. If you can't say I love you on a text, you are the devil. Before you go to bed at night, if you know your children's number, you ought to call them out by name and say, Betty, good night. I love you, and I'm praying for you. Don't add something along the lines of, I have not forgotten that evil word you said to me out the door. No, don't add that. Just say, I love you. Because the devil is killing folk. And that may be the last time you see that child. That may be the last time you see your father, who did everything he could to help you. That may be the last time you see your sibling. Yes, and by the way, you siblings ought to say it. And if you're single sisters, you ought to hang together. Because when she ends up raped and nobody can find her, and then they find her in the dumpster, then you're going to be the one crying and boo-hooing and wishing you had been there for your sister. And by the way, don't listen to these people who don't know what's happening in the world, trying to tell you that it's okay to be that way. It's not. People who did not say, I love you this morning, there were some folks left at home. This is in the newspaper today. They didn't go to church. And if they didn't say, I love you, and got things right before the people went to church, they're boo-hooing right now, more so than what they would have. Stop taking life for granted. Can I get somebody to say amen? Stop taking your children's life for granted. They'll be all right. Stop taking your family members' life for granted. People are dropping each and every day. People are dying each and every day. Why not your family members? Why not your church members that you don't speak to? Why not you? You say, I'm 45. People 45 are dying each and every day. I'm 50. I'm young. I'm on my time, my own time, or whatever. I'm trying to get hooked up with some other 50-year-olds. Our time. I'm on our time. I raised my children. I stayed in the family for 30 years. And I started a business, and now it's flourishing, and I divorced my wife, my husband, whatever. I'm looking for a trophy wife and a trophy husband on our time. It might be your last time. You might be dead tomorrow from something you know not what. There are things going on in your body right now. You don't know what's happening. You can die at any time. You neither leave our time, get off of our time, trying to find some old diseased individual who takes 25 pills and you take 35. Leave that alone and go find your grandchildren. Do you know them? Look them in the face and say, Grandpappy, love you. Grandpappy don't have time for our time. Grandpappy has time for his grandchildren. Some of you grandmothers, act like a grandmother and stop trying to be cute. And go and get your grandchildren. Your grandchildren got on skinny jeans. Your daughter has on fat skinny jeans. And you got some skinny jeans on trying to be cute. Trying to catch somebody. When you need to be trying to run after those grandchildren, take them heels off. Put your glasses back on and be a grandmother. Amen, somebody. He said, preacher, you just always, you always, always rubbing the cat the wrong way. Billy Sunday said, tell him to turn the cat around. All I'm saying, folks, is be ready for anything. I came out with a prayer on my way to Austin. I finally put it in writing. I'm going to ask my son to help me say it. I'm the one that wrote it. Been saying it in my prayers in different ways. And is titled The Life Prayer. The Life Prayer. Holy Father God, prepare us for good times and bad times. Prepare us for laughter, and prepare us for tragedy. Prepare us for weddings, and prepare us for funerals. And prepare us for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Jesus reveals God's true intent behind the law, part 31, the law of retribution. Just Jesus' evangelistic campaign, day 275, since January the 20th, 2017, day 642, since January 1st, 2016. And as I have prefaced all of these messages, what is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is embodied in these words: Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And by the grace of God, with Paul, I'm taking it a little bit further, and I don't want to talk about anything else but what Paul talked about here when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You may be seated. David Nicholas, the late pastor and founder of Gospel Boot Camps, broke down and explained 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, phrase by phrase. He continues, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. I broke this commandment every minute of every day of my life for 27 years, he said. I gave no thought to the true and living God, but had a variety of little g-gods that were more important to me, such as my first car and the cute girls I was dating. This brother sounds like me. He's a brother after my own heart. I didn't know this. Well, my old heart, let me just say that. I was a criminal in God's sight. The problem of sin must be properly explained and not glossed over. The problem of sin must be properly explained and not glossed over when we talk about the gospel. And we'll share some more about that on tomorrow, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem of sin. You must understand that in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And the reason is because they are violating His laws, designed to help them, designed to help us, to benefit us. God does not hate sin because He's trying to steal your fun. God hates sin because He knows that ultimately it will destroy you and place you in hell. Not God's sin, because He cannot sin your sin. So first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Those people who died today, they didn't die because how shall I put this? The people who died today as a result of this wicked, sinful person killing them died because of sin ultimately. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason why we die is because of sin. When we die physically, our body is put in the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. So accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's the bad news, but I have some good news for you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight before you die. Pray and ask Him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer tonight. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, meaning it from your heart and believing in Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, as I now believe in Jesus Christ. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for His sake, amen. Dear friend, may God bless you until next time.